Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump and President-elect Joe Biden will travel to Georgia today to campaign on behalf of the candidates running in Tuesday's highly anticipated Senate runoff elections. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris visited the state yesterday. Emil Moffitt of member station WABE reports the outcome of the races will determine control of the U.S. Senate.
Georgia was among the states that put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris over the top in the November election, the first Democratic ticket to carry the state in nearly 30 years. Biden is set to campaign for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock Monday. Harris spoke at a drive-in rally Sunday in Savannah.
So I'm here to thank you on behalf of Joe and myself for what you did in November, and I'm here to ask you to do it again.
More than 3 million in the state have already voted ahead of Tuesday's election. President Trump and Vice President Pence are set to appear in Georgia Monday to stump for incumbents David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. For NPR News, I'm Emil Moffitt in Atlanta.
Nancy Pelosi was reelected as Speaker of the House for a fourth term as the new Congress convened on Sunday. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports Pelosi is facing the challenge of steering a sharply divided chamber ahead of the incoming Biden administration.
The issues I'm watching in particular are how the party navigates where they're really divided now, like student loan debt relief or the role of climate policy, and, you know, how they're going to approach that in the first 100 days. This split isn't new, but the ranks of the outspoken progressives has grown a little bit, and a large portion of the losses for Democrats in 2020 came from the more moderate wing. You know, that means that it may be more difficult to find legislation that can appease both sides of the party and get enough votes to actually pass the House.
NPR's Kelsey Snell reporting. The number of coronavirus cases continues to surge across the country with nearly 21 million confirmed cases and more than 350,000 deaths. In Oklahoma, hospitalizations are near an all-time high. Jessica Gallagher reports nearly 20% of COVID tests have come back positive over the last week.
On New Year's Day, Oklahoma recorded 38 deaths from COVID-19. That same day, 1,910 people were hospitalized with the virus. That's close to the all-time high that was set on Monday, with 1,927 people in hospitals, according to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. Hospitalizations and new cases could increase, as state health officials are delaying reporting cases over the holiday weekend. According to data from Johns Hopkins University, more than 18% of COVID tests in Oklahoma have come back positive over the last week. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Oklahoma City.
This is NPR News in Washington. The nation's top infectious disease expert is pushing back against President Trump's false claim that the number of deaths from the coronavirus in the U.S. is exaggerated. Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC News that the data is real and the death toll is likely to rise.
The winter months coming in right now with the cold, essentially forcing people to do most of their things indoors, and then the traveling associated with the holiday season is all of the ingredients that unfortunately make for a situation that is really terrible.
Fauci also says that President-elect Biden's plan to administer 100 million shots of the COVID vaccine within the first 100 days of his administration is a realistic goal. The NFL's regular season schedule is complete and 16 playoff teams are set. Greg Eklund reports all but two teams will be playing this weekend.
As number one seeds in the NFC and AFC respectively, Green Bay and Kansas City will sit this weekend out. So Kansas City coach Andy Reid, the defending Super Bowl champion, says he'll be sizing up their possible opponents.
A couple of teams we already know. We've dug in on some of the other ones that we don't know just to get a foundation.
Kansas City finished with an NFL best record of 14-2. Miami ended up with a 10-6 record, but will miss the playoffs while Cleveland is in for the first time since 2002. In the NFC, Washington enters the playoffs with a 7-9 record. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
This is NPR News.